Hey, I'm Jack Paul.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Travis J.
It's Darren Isaacs.
Hey, this is DJ Hannibal in the mix.
Hey, Soul Nation, this is IFBB Pro, Neil Hamilton.
This is Kadar Clark.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is your boy Nate from Nate Bates.
What's up, beautiful people? It's your boy Stack.
Family, how you doing? It's your boy Todd Marshall, your next generation leader and your musical entrepreneur.
This is Addis Hyland, founder of the Bahamian Icon Awards, and you're listening to
It's Your Time to Soar.
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 You're tuned into It's Your Time to Soar.
It's your time to soar.
It's your time to soar.
With my brother, Felici Ranger.
Hello and welcome to It's Your Time to Soar. If this is your first time tuning in, know that we inspire, motivate, and impact. Soar Nation, I have an awesome interview for you today. Our topic episode is going to be about legacy. Now, the young man I have in front of me today, he's a CEO, he's an entrepreneur, he's also a motivational speaker. This gentleman, he is the perfect person in my mind for me to have a conversation about legacy. All right, Miles Monroe Jr., welcome to Soar Nation.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
awesome. So for the few people who I think don't know who you are, which I think is rare to believe that at this point in time.
Yeah.
All right, can you give us just a brief bio of who you are?
I'm the son of the late Dr. Miles and Ruth Monroe. Known pastors, motivational speakers, consultants in the Bahamas and around the world. I worked closely with my dad. At the time that he was here, I was the managing director of his organizations. And after he passed, I kind of took over everything and, you know, just kind of overseeing, moving forward with everything that my dad has started. I'm a very quiet person. If you know me, you know I don't really talk too much. I'm an introvert. I like to keep to myself. I'm a very simple person, but I enjoy, you know, spending times with friends and family. I love traveling. And I think it's good that I can incorporate traveling into what I do as far as business is concerned. So that's always a plus when I look at it. I'm a God-fearing young man. I really love what I do. I love to create. I love to motivate. And I love to give inspiration and empowerment to individuals around me. Because, you know, one of the things that I want to see with everyone around me is for all of us to be successful in all that we do, knowing that, you know, whatever we put our minds to and as we develop ourselves, you know, both personally, professionally, in all areas of our lives, you know, we're able to see the success that we really want to see. But it's not going to come easy. So, you know, it's all about the patience and the process of life and our journey.
Right. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. It's awesome. You have a lot of persons who actually allow the things that life throws away, they end up climbing up in a shell or they end up becoming larger than life. You know, so how do you feel about when you hear the term legacy? What are some of the first things that actually come to your mind?
First thing that comes to mind is see it, right? So every time I think about legacy and I think about what it means to leave a legacy, it's about planting a seed, right? So if you think of any seed, any fruit seed that maybe your favorite fruit seed, and you think of holding that seed in your hand, the potential within the seed is essentially to become a forest, because inside that seed is a tree that has a fruit, that has seed, that has tree. If you've listened to my dad talk before, you know, he's given that example before, but for me it meant I learned so much more about it and from it just after my parents passed. And you know, just thinking about legacy and what legacy means, because my dad gave himself to the world. He planted his seeds in various places in the world, and even after his passing, the fruit or the trees that are being developed or still developed from the seed that he's planted, you know, are going to continue developing forever. So when I think about legacy, it all starts with a seed, and that seed is inside you, inside me, inside each and every one of us. And I think the journey of life is to really discover our potential, which is the seed that is inside of us, the gifts that we've been given, the talents we've been given, and to develop the purpose that we're supposed to do, or the purpose that we're supposed to bring out while using those gifts and talents, or using that seed. So in developing a legacy, I think, you know, it's all about essentially dying empty, getting everything out that is inside of us, and duplicating ourselves, right? So a seed duplicates itself. A seed is planted into the ground, the tree grows, fruits produce, those fruits are picked, those fruits are eaten, and the seeds from those fruits are planted, and then trees are produced, and the process continues. So it's all about duplication, right? So legacy is simply, at least in the simplest form, the simplest way that I could explain it for myself, is about duplicating either yourself, or, you know, duplicating what you've gotten from someone and internalizing it, and then, you know, using it to empower and impact those around you. So, you know, when I think about legacy, it all starts with seeds, and I think, you know, my dad and his life is a great example of that.
Right. Yeah. You are definitely absolutely right about that. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, because your dad, there were two pivotal times in my life that I would say for sure that he definitely inspired me to actually be more than I was at that particular time.
Right.
I remember, I think it was back in 2014. I think it was 2004. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but I actually took vacation. No, I didn't take the vacation yet. I put in for a vacation, and I was listening to on the radio. And the same time I turned on the radio, the same time that my vacation was lined up for was the same time he had the Kingdom training seminar.
Right.
Set up for. You could correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
because
right.
That one was supposed to be in Freeport, right? The following one.
The leadership conference was in Freeport that year. So the Kingdom Training Seminar was in August of 2014.
Right.
Right.
And it was the same weekend. I said, boy, this has to be God. This has to be God. I go in. I go in, and I was right there, and I was impacted immensely.
Mm.
And that plaque and that training meant so much to me, you know, and I always tell my wife about it, and we just know that you know that was God who aligned all of that.
Right.
Because because usually you would hear about something happening, then you plan your vacation.
Right, right, right.
My vacation was the same week.
Right.
The same week.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So what do you think is the mindset of a vision carrier?
I think visionaries are looked at as crazy sometimes, right? They aren't normal people, right? Because they, you know, someone with a vision and you know, a true vision is usually larger than life, right? It's larger than you could imagine. It's almost something that you feel you can't even accomplish, right? Because it's so big, and it's like, man, how am I going to accomplish this or achieve this vision that I see for myself? So you as long as you accept it and you say, okay, let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You set out and you develop strategies and short-term goals, long-term goals, and all of these things to get to that that vision, right? But when you try to explain your vision to people, they look at you like, you think you could accomplish what you're telling me right now? So, you know, visionaries, I feel, are persons who are very self-confident, persons who And obviously, you know, everything that I'm saying, it takes time to develop into this person, because I don't think everyone, like, I don't think every visionary automatically is a visionary or is a person that is able to achieve the things that they want to achieve. You know, everyone has doubts, everyone has weaknesses, everyone has the little things that they tend to allow to interfere in their progress in their life's purpose, right? So there's a process of self-development that everyone has to go through, but ultimately once you go through that entire process, you know, as a visionary, you're the one who you set the way forward, right? You have individuals who you've explained your vision to, or you've detailed your vision to, and they understand it and they buy into it and they want to attach themselves to it, and they're there to serve you. And even as a visionary, you're there to serve as well, right? You serve those who serve you. Mm-hmm. And it's all about servant leadership at that point. As a visionary, you see things that others may not see, right? And I remember, like, sometimes me and my dad, we used to sit down and have meetings, and I would bring, you know, certain issues to him that would come up, and he would look at them as if they were trivial, right? Mm-hmm. But being in the role that I was in, you know, I was like, yo, this ain't nothing this simple. Like, we have to make a decision, or we have to figure out how we could solve this issue.
Right.
And for him, it was like, okay, to meet us, small things, that'll work itself out. That we need to deal with the bigger picture, right?
Right.
And I really never understood that, like, while he was doing it. Eventually, I came around and got to understand, like, why he would say certain things or why he would do certain things. And it's always because he truly believed mm-hmm. that if he was given a vision for his life, or given a vision for anything, for a project or whatever, right, then everything that needs to come together for that project to be a success, it's going to happen. So you don't spend time worrying, right? And that's what visionaries don't do. They don't spend time worrying about the small things, the things that could cause you to become stuck, right? Because you're now being fearful of, man, what if this doesn't happen, or what if that doesn't happen, or what if we aren't able to get this done before this date? You're trying to think about all of the little things that seem to be important if you really focus on it.
Yeah.
When you take a step back and look at the big picture, it's just a really small dot on that journey line to the end goal. So as a visionary, the focus should always be on the bigger picture, right? Mm-hmm. And you understand the small steps that need to be taken, you understand the small goals that needs to be accomplished, but as far as what the focus should be, it should never be on the minor things, because you don't want to get set off track from, you know, what the ultimate vision is. So visionaries are persons that don't worry, they're self-confident, they know who they are, they know what they can do, they understand that they have weaknesses, and they fill those weaknesses in themselves with others who are stronger in those areas. So they have no egos. Person with small egos, they're just about accomplishing the long-term goal. They don't need the praise, they don't need the celebrity, you know, they don't concern themselves with the gossip in the market. They don't concern themselves with things that are going to deter them away from, you know, what the ultimate vision is. You know, very focused individuals, purpose driven, very disciplined. I think that's very important as well.
Yes.
So all of these characteristics, I feel, are what visionary people, or people with impactful visions, need to have to be effective.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. And I don't know how familiar you are with basketball, but during a basketball game, let's just say if I was the point guard, right? We on a fast break, mm-hmm. all right? I must have the ability to know that hey, this person that I have on the left hand side of me, he could either if I pass him the ball, that's either a dunk, or he's able to shoot a three pointer. Mm-hmm. The person to my right, I must know that hey, this person he he's only good at catching lobs. Mm-hmm. All right, so bringing it back to visionary or legacy. Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is to know the strengths and weaknesses of your teammates?
I'll give you something that a visionary has a step before that. So even before you get to the fast break and before you understand, the personnel that are around you, right? You understand the makeup of your team.
Right.
Sometimes the visionary sees traits or characteristics in the individuals in their teams before they even know it.
Right.
So it's the visionary's goal to empower them, mm-hmm. to know that, hey, I believe in you. I know you can do this aspect of what we're trying to do. Even if you don't believe it, I know you can get this done. So I'm going to give you the tools and the encouragement and the empowerment that you need to have confidence that you can fulfill this task. So that when we're on that fast break, it's almost like clockwork. Like you don't think about it. I don't think about it. Right. No. It just happens because we've been in the trenches. We've been in the meetings and in the practice at the gym, you know, rehearsing, going over strategies, going over everything that we need to do so that you're confident with whatever comes up. Right. Because, you know, every fast break is different. You can't predict what the defender is going to do.
Right.
You can't predict exactly where you're going to be when the fast break starts, but you know where you have to get to during the fast break as it progresses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's all about just knowing yourself, mm-hmm. knowing the individuals around you, knowing who is best to put in any position on the court. If we're talking about basketball on the fast break, knowing the strength of individuals, this person prefers to get the ball at the three-point line as opposed to this other person that prefers to get a lob to catch an alley-oop, you know?
Right.
So it's really understanding the strengths, the weaknesses of yourself, your team, and putting everyone in the best position to be successful.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned something earlier about personal development or self development.
Mm-hmm.
How important do you think that is to visionaries? And can you share with Soul Nation, our listening audience, what steps do you even use for personal development?
It's absolutely important. In fact, I think it's the most important thing or the most important step in transitioning into a visionary. If you don't know who you are, then you're not going to know what you're capable of. You're not going to know what you're supposed to do in life. You're not going to know, you're not going to be focused. You're not going to be disciplined, because not knowing who you are means you're going to try to imitate others around you, right? You're going to try and be either a celebrity or your friends or someone else that you may know who you may hold in high esteem. It's very important to know who you are as an individual.
Right.
I think that's the most important thing, because once we discover who we are, we accept who we are, right? Then we know what we're capable of, what we're not capable of. And I think that answers half of the question, right? That's half of the journey right there.
Yes.
Just understanding who we are as individuals.
Yes.
And when it comes to being a visionary, knowing who you are, I think it helps, because it tells you who you are not.
Right.
So when you're given or when other opportunities are brought to you that doesn't align with what your vision is or doesn't align with your morals or ethics, then you know that's not you, right? Regardless of what's involved in it, the celebrity, the money, the attention, you know, whatever that is, you know that I'm not that person. I'm not that type of person. So I'm able to be disciplined enough to say no, right? To say that I can't do this because it doesn't align itself with who I am as a visionary.
Right.
Right. So knowing who you are, I think, is the first step. And for me, developing into a person of vision and really being focused in what I want to do in life, there were a few things that I had to do. First of all, I had to live life, right? So like I said earlier, it's not something that you go to sleep and you wake up and you be like, okay, I know who I am. I'm self-confident. I'm a visionary. I know what I want to do with my life.
Right?
It's, you're going to go through a period of discovery. Mm-hmm. And that's really what life is. Everything is about discovery in life, right? Each phase of your life is a discovery in and of itself.
Right.
So in discovering who you are, you know, you need to ensure you put yourself around the right company. Mm-hmm. What I did was, and what was a big step for me, was finding a mentor.
Right.
And ironically enough, my dad was my mentor. Now, finding a mentor is something, it's not just me making a decision mm-hmm. that this person is going to be my mentor, right? It's a two-way street with mentorship. Right. My dad was obviously my dad. He was my father my entire life. Right. But he didn't become my mentor until the age of 27 for me.
Right.
He's been mentoring me and encouraging me in our father-son relationship.
Right.
But in really defining our mentoring relationship as mentorship, that didn't happen until 27 because I had to I had to submit myself to his mentorship.
Right.
And I think that's what mentoring is all about. He has to accept that he is going to be my mentor and that he's going to mentor me. Then I had to accept that I was going to allow him to mentor me, so I was going to submit to his mentorship. And I think that did a lot for me because I was able to learn things from him that I thought I knew, that I knew nothing about, right? You know, at that time, I had graduated undergrad, I had graduated with my master's.
Right.
So, you know, I thought I knew a lot. I thought I knew more than I needed to know, and I was ready to conquer the world.
Right.
And, you know, I was very ambitious, wanted to do a whole lot of things, especially in business. So I had a whole lot of ideas that I wanted to accomplish. And, you know, some of the things that I just didn't think to discuss it with him or in the open. And in hindsight, you know, I realized that had I used those opportunities to discuss things in it before I made decisions, I would have made a much better decision that I might have made at the time. And that's why I think mentoring is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most important aspects of leadership. When it comes to duplicating ourselves and empowering others, it's really allowing others into our space, right? Observe what I do and how I do it and why I do it. You know, there are things that my dad used to say and do that I didn't agree with. But that was before I understood why he had to do those things. Because as a leader and as a visionary, you have to understand that every decision you make doesn't just affect your life tomorrow. It really affects life 5 to 10, 15 years from the point you make that decision.
Right.
And that's the way my dad think. And I laugh at it now because I always used to tell him, you know, you take so long to make decisions, right? A decision that to me at the time looked very simple. It was either yes or no. To him, it was like, well, if I say yes, then these 7 things are going to happen. And if I say no, these 4 things are going to happen. So, and how does the consequences of my decision affect all of those around me? How does it affect my family? How does it affect my organizations? So truly, those are the things you have to think about as a visionary when you're making decisions. And it's very important to understand those intricacies of leadership, right? Because we tend to want to rush things and not really focus on what we need to focus on. And not saying that you're going to get it right every time, because you won't, right? Sometimes you're going to miss a step and make the wrong decision and whatnot. But the wisdom in that is to learn from it and do better the next opportunity you get. So as a visionary, understanding who you are, what you are, what you're capable of, your strengths, your weaknesses, I think it's very important to establish your personal development first, your foundation as an individual, so that when the time comes for your character to be tested, you're going to withstand the test because you've developed the right way into the person and into the visionary that you want to be.
Right. Yeah, that's some good stuff right there, because I remember. I think this was the beginning of 2017. I remember listening to a video from your dad, and because during this time, you know, at the time the church I was going to at the time, their vision their vision for the year was intentional impact. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I need to figure out what I can do because I want to make a impact.
Right.
You know, so I say, guess what? You know who I can find who's going to jog my mind right now? I say, Dr. Miles Monroe. Yeah. Got him. I play in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually used to know the whole phrase out of my head, but I'm gonna paraphrase what he basically says.
Mm-hmm.
He said for impact. He said that you're gonna have to find one particular thing and master it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me think about something that I'm okay with, but I have a passion for, but I need a lot more information on it.
Right.
And at the time, that was leadership. I said, okay, so who was the best boy? Who was the number one person I could find right now for leadership? And I said, John Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're actually focusing on a particular goal, and like you said, with the mentorship as well,
right.
you have to submit.
Mm-hmm.
And what's actually powerful about it is that, you know, even in his passing, like, he's still making this huge impact.
Yeah.
And that really is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I have for you, is he still, even after this passing now, is he still mentoring you by the books and the videos?
Absolutely. On a daily basis, you know, I'm still learning from him. I still have those aha moments where, you know, I would be going through my routine with work or my planning routine or whatever, and, you know, something would come up and I would remember something that he would have said or something that I would observed him doing.
Right.
And I find myself saying, oh, okay, I get it now. I understand, you know, why he did that or why this needed to happen.
Right.
And you know, just different things that I'm still able to learn from him, and even in still reading his books, being able to read his books and listening to the many things that he would have taught about, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we have tons of resources that, you know, I'm still able to go through,
right.
Because, you know, we constantly try to continue developing his products and introducing new products to the market. So
right.
within that, it benefits me because,
right.
you know, I listen to all of these and I still gain the,
right.
the knowledge. And even though it's material that I may have heard,
right.
you know, I think each time he spoke, you get something different from it, right? You learn something different because he might have been in a different groove or in a different space in his mind at the time. So,
right.
you know, the message comes across much more differently. So
right.
I'm constantly being mentored on a daily basis, still learning a lot from him and from those that he's mentored, right?
Because
right. there's, like I say, it's a duplication process when it
right.
comes to legacy.
And, yes.
You know, the legacy that he has left, you know, he's duplicated himself in so many other individuals. So there are other individuals that I could reach out to now if I have an issue and I, you know, need to talk to someone and, you know, kind of think it through.
Yeah.
And just using a sounding board to kind of bounce things, ideas off of. I'm able to still hear him through others.
Yeah.
So it just shows how impactful leaving a good legacy can be. And, you know, one of the things I realized is for him, you know, the type of legacy that he left with his name and the character that he had, it really goes a long way, right? Because folks,
right.
I would, you know, I may be somewhere and doesn't even have to be in the Bahamas. I could be anywhere in the world. And,
right.
you know, they may hear my name or they may recognize my face and they say, hey, where do I know you from? And I, you know, tell them who I am.
Right.
And it changes everything, right?
It
changes the subject. They get so, they're so overwhelmed with the fact that, you know, a piece of someone that has been so impactful
right.
in their lives is here, that they want
right.
to do something or want to help in any which way. So I'm realizing that my legacy, me leaving a good legacy, is going to open so many doors for my kids, right? So that's my focus, right? What
yeah.
what can I do, not for my life, but mm-hmm. for the lives of my children and my children's children? So I'm mentored by him every day, learning, continuing to learn from his legacy and from the impact that he has left on this earth.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and guess what, it's actually one thing I could say that he always did from the videos, from the many videos I have watched, mm-hmm. that I don't see many leaders doing now. If he was traveling, and if you, Carissa, or his wife was there, mm-hmm. he would most times either bring you all up, mm-hmm. to maybe say something, or he may just bring you up. Mm-hmm. Or he would point you out in the crowd, you know, hey, that's my, you know.
Yeah,
and he always did that.
I think that's he was a very family was very important to him, mm-hmm. right? And he was very proud of his family and the fact that, you know, if we were able to travel with him, we traveled with him and was right there with right. him. And so he, as you say, you know, he would always make it a point to introduce my mother, myself, and my sister. Even bring us up to say something every now and again, and even in that, you know, that had to do with a lot of mentoring in and of itself, because, you know, he knew that I was a bit shy and I'm much more of an introvert, so him bringing me up to speak got me used to speaking in the front of crowds, right? So now I'm comfortable doing that, so I'm comfortable, right. I'm even more comfortable now, you know, doing public speaking or that, you know, doing things in that light because of him. Because of the preparation that he put me through during that time. So he was big on family and even in that act, you know, still being a mentor to myself and my sister.
Wow. So let me ask you something right now. Okay. Let's just say if you were able to go on back in time right now to your 15-year-old self, and you were able to just say one thing to your 15-year-old self, what would that one thing be?
It's funny you say 15, because I remember when I was 15, I literally made a decision. I was going through, during that time in my life, there was a lot of expectations put on me because of mm-hmm. of who my dad was, right? So everyone, you know, kind of, I felt, looked at me through a magnifying glass. Everything I felt was just... it's overblown, right? Whatever I did, whatever I said. So I remember I made a decision at 15. Look, I don't care what anyone else says, and I'm not gonna be living up to anyone else's expectations. I'm just gonna kind of live my life the way I want to live it.
Right.
But I think if I could go back to my 15-year-old self, what I would tell myself is that my old man ain't that bad. You know, at 15, I think it's normal. You go through a rebellious stage where you kind of want to go left when everyone else is going right, and everyone else mainly being my dad and my mother. But I think had I just been a bit more accepting of life at that time, just understanding, you know, the true purpose that was on my life and on the life of my family, I think my process would have been much more quicker, right? For me to come to the point that I'm at now, and then the wisdom that I have now and the relationships I'm able to establish now. And not to say that it was horrible when I was 15. It's just my mindset at the time. I would tell myself, you know, your dad really means well. He's a very wise individual, you should bounce more things off of him than you're doing. So I think if I could go back to my 15-year-old self, that's probably one of the things I would say.
I totally understand, totally get it. Uh-huh. Totally get it, man. Because I've never really said this on any episode so far since my mom passed in Christmas time, but you know I always reflect back to times when you know we were together and I was like, boy, I should have called her a few more times. Mm-hmm. You know, I should hang with her a few more times. Mm-hmm. I should have took some more pictures. You know, I'm always bombarded with What else? Yeah. Do you experience that?
I think with the picture thing, yeah, because my dad used to take a lot of pictures, and I really wasn't a big picture taker.
Right.
So, you know, we'd take a few, and I'd be like, okay, that's enough. I died taking pictures. So
right.
I think the picture thing is probably one of the things I would have done more. But as far as being able to spend time with my dad and really, you know, develop our relationship both personally and professionally,
mm-hmm.
I don't have any regrets or any,
right.
you know, I wish I did this, I wish I did that. Because, like I say, you know, when I was 26, 27, I really made the decision to submit myself to him. And I think that did a lot for our relationship, did a lot for my experience with both my parents. And you know, we were able to do a lot in that space of time. And I think I don't regret, I don't have any regrets as far as, you know, not being able to call or talk to or spend time with them, because every opportunity that I had, I took advantage of it, especially with traveling or spending time with them. So yeah.
All right, awesome, yeah. Awesome. All right, so for our listening audience, Saw Nation, would you have any of his favorite books or the favorite books that he has written that you'd want to recommend to Saw Nations or any other books?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and one of the books, one book I will always recommend is his book on faith, Rediscovering Faith.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was his most powerful book, just because it deals, it deals with faith and everything, but it's really not about religion. It's so much life principles in that book, and how to deal with the different things we're going to face in life, right? Because change is the only thing that's constant in life. So our life is constantly changing, you know, from one aspect to the next. You know, people die, people come into your life, people leave your life. You know, you're successful one day, unsuccessful another day, and then successful again. So it's all about the process, and being able to understand that process and deal with that process, and faith really plays a big role in that. So, you know, that's one of the books I would recommend. Another book is his book on character, The Power of Character and Leadership.
I think that's a very good book,
and it tells you why character is important, why it's important to be a person of strong character, and how it helps you as an individual, it helps you as a business person, it helps you as a professional, and it helps you in your personal life as well. And it trickles down into those that come after you, your kids, you know, your business partners, your employees. You know, being a person of character does a lot for those around you as well. So, you know, that's a really good book. And then the book on vision, The Purpose and Power of Vision.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking about visionaries this entire time. That
yes.
deals with that aspect of leadership as well. Mm-hmm. You know, how to write your vision down and what it takes to develop your vision, what you need to think about, the things that you need to ensure that you're doing, developing yourself personally, professionally, spiritually, all of that. You know, all of that is important when it comes to self-development. And then the last book, I think, you know, one of his first books is The Pursuit of Purpose, which is, it's called Unleash Your Purpose Now. It's been revised. And it just deals with the first step in the process, right? Understanding your potential and learning how to develop your purpose as an individual. So, you know, those would be my four book recommendations from my dad.
All right, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So for our listening audience who would probably want to get in contact with you, or just stay connected with you via social media, maybe email.
I'm on social media, so all of my social media handles is Miles Honore Jr. I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Miles Honore Jr. Official. I have an Instagram page, Miles Honore Jr. Jr. is JR. And the Miles is with a Y, not an I. So it's MYLES. MUNROE, JR. And then my email address is Miles, MYLESJR at MonroeGlobal.com. So if you want to reach out and shoot me a message, you can do that. Or I'm on my I communicate through my social media pages as well. So you can shoot me a message on my Facebook page, my public page, not my private page, or not my personal page, I should say. And then, or you can shoot me a message on Instagram if you want. But I think the easiest way to contact me would be either through email or on my my Facebook page.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right. It's awesome.
Awesome,
man. having you on our podcast today. So Nation. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening in. I know, as I always say, if you haven't heard these words before, know that it's your time to soar.
I believe I can soar. Thank you for listening to It's Your Time to Soar. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review.